Each ship we passed saluted us. They were playing the Marine Corps hymn and cheering. It was very emotional. I was an officer and in the conning tower, so the captain quickly got the rest of the men on deck. We were not exactly dressed to be saluted or salute back, because most of us had lost a lot of our clothes when the surf was so heavy. Most of us had to divest ourselves of our clothing just to handle the heavy surf and swim. The Navy folks loaned us some clothes, but we were a pretty ragtag bunch. It was my most vivid memory of the war. I was so moved, they were cheering us. It felt like we had really done something meaningful and good. Chapter 2. Starvation Island, Guadalcanal. Some people wonder all their lives if they've made a difference. The Marines don't have that problem. Ronald Reagan. On Guadalcanal, the Marines gained a foothold after their landing on August 7th, but the Japanese built up their forces. The 1st Raider Battalion and 1st Parachute Battalion were recalled from Tulagi and Gavutu and placed in reserve near Guadalcanal's Henderson Field at Lunga Point. The airfield, dubbed an unsinkable aircraft carrier, became the focus of Japanese attacks. As long as Allied squadrons operated from the airfield, they could use air power to protect their convoys and attack Japanese reinforcements. The raiders put their specialized training to the test by conducting two raids in defense of Henderson. The first occurred on Savo Island, where two raider companies encountered no enemy soldiers. The second was on the key Japanese supply base at Tasimboko. Both the raiders and parachutists participated, and the raid was a resounding success. Several Japanese artillery pieces and a large cache of supplies were destroyed. More important, it provided an intelligence windfall that revealed the size of the Japanese force that was converging on Henderson Field. After the raid, Colonel Edson was convinced that the Japanese would attack Henderson from the south, which was lightly guarded. After consulting with division personnel, he moved his men, including the attached 1st Parachute Battalion, to a broken, grassy north-south ridge about a mile from the airfield. The ridge was shaped like a giant centipede, with leg-like spurs extending on each side. Edson's men hastily dug in and strung their limited supply of barbed wire along the ridge. The spine of the ridge provided a rough dividing line. Paratroopers were dug in on the east side, and the raiders manned the west.